you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 254 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. Today, I'm delighted to have as my guest, Annette Chody. Annette is the founder and creator behind the company LawQuill, Inc., and that's Inc., I-N-K, as opposed to Incorporated. And LawQuill provides content management and SEO services for solo and small firm practitioners. And they have kind of a unique approach to how they deliver those products. You can acquire them on a done-for-you basis, you know, unique to your practice and your law firm, or you can buy pre-populated and canned products for those who have a little less need. So it's an interesting approach to how to provide these services to attorneys like ourselves. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to talk about it with Annette Chody. Annette Chody, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Well, it's a thrill for us to have you join with us today. So tell our audience a little bit about yourself, Annette, and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, the Cliff Notes version is that I graduated law school 20 years ago, and I worked for the U.S. Department of Labor for about 2 decades. And several years ago, I just really started to feel like I wanted to pivot my career, but I really didn't know what to do. I knew I didn't want to hang out my own shingle because I had not worked in a law firm, so I didn't feel sort of equipped to be able to do that. And it actually very fortuitously fell into my lap that someone said, well, do you want to just write a blog post for this law firm? I'm like, what are you talking about? I had no idea about any of it. And then as I started to research it more and learn about SEO, I was completely hooked. So I started working for some large digital marketing firms that specialized in law firms and sort of cut my teeth there and took a ton of courses and did a lot of education and research and experience on the job experience. And eventually I realized that there was this very large gap for small and solo law firms that their needs were not being addressed if they did not have $15,000 to $20,000 a month to spend with the large marketing agencies. And so I marinated in that for quite a long time and then found a way that I thought I could truly demystify SEO and help small and solo law firms get more online visibility and compete with the large law firms. And well, that's how I started LawQuill.
Well, was it the attraction to SEO that first hooked you or to content marketing?
I think it was honestly to the content and the writing and the research. I always was kind of a research geek and I just really liked researching and I really liked writing. I'm a very fast writer. So, you know, you have a tendency to like the things that, you know, you're either good or fast at. And so I just really liked that aspect of it. And I realized that writing for law firms online is very different than any other kind of content writing because you have to sound very professional, like an attorney. You also have to have potential clients, you know, be relatable to them and help solve some of their immediate, because let's be honest, people are not going to law firm websites for fun, right? I mean, I do, right. But other people are there because they're in some sort of crisis. And then you also have to write for the Google bots. So it's this very sort of unique kind of writing. And I realized if I wanted to do it well, then I was going to have to really learn about the SEO and the keywording and all the things.
Right. And I think that's the natural progression and the way it should work. You start with the content, and so that has to be solid. But if you don't pay attention to SEO requirements, you know, you're writing this great article, but nobody's reading it. Nobody knows of its existence. So you have to pay attention to those principles. And I don't think you can do one without the other.
No, I think because the point of having content on a law firm's website is really twofold. One is to give answers and provide value to potential clients, as well as sort of, you know, pacify and please the Google bots, who are not quite our robot overlords yet, but almost.
And they're pretty close, yeah.
They are getting smarter and smarter. I know a lot of digital marketing agencies that kind of try to game the system. And every single time I have seen them use these very sort of convoluted keywords and whatnot and keyword stuffing. And it always ends up a year or 2 years later that the Google figures it out. And then you're sort of left with this content that again won't reach it. So I always feel like it's really best to do it right the first time. And I believe if you write really solid, valuable content that answers someone's questions and then also has best practices of SEO, that's really, you know, if you have a lot of integrity with your writing, that is, along with SEO best practices, that's going to be the best benefit in the long run.
You know, I often tell people, you think about, you know, Google's stake in the matter. You know, they have a lot of money on the table, and they don't want to get spoofed. They don't want to get tricked. And so they spend a ton of time and effort to make sure that they aren't, and that when you do a search, you're getting valid results for the terms that you're searching for, not results that are, you know, presented as a result of gaming the system. So, I mean, I just don't know anybody who has the resources to out-duel Google in that showdown.
Well, I do know some digital marketing agencies who have tried.
Oh, sure.
And it never works to their benefit, right?
No. Maybe because short-term, you know, for a very brief period of time, but over the course of time, it's not going to work, and you're going to be worse off for it.
Right. Because Google, at the end of the day, wants to serve up the very best possible answers right. for the people that are searching for whatever that long tail keyword, which is just, I don't know why they call it a long tail keyword. It's just a phrase.
Yeah.
So whenever someone's putting that phrase into Google, you know, Google wants to put the best information there for them. So I always think it's always best to write quality content and include best practices and not try to sort of, don't try to game this. You'll never win.
You never win. So let's talk about the writing process itself for you and, you know, kind of the core subject areas around which you write. I mean, I'm gathering over the course of time as LawQuill Inc. has prospered that some of your writing coalesces around some major practice areas and or themes.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm very blessed. I have a lot of different types of law firms that I write for, including personal injury, estate planning, bankruptcy, a lot of corporate law, immigration law. But, you know, and I will also get really interesting areas of intellectual property law that I write for. Specifically, there is one particular firm that they work with the FDA for like orphan drug approvals for, you know, different companies and things like that, the legalities of that. So I am afforded the opportunity to work on a lot of different, I don't know that there's really almost any kind of law that I haven't written about at some point, but usually it ends up, you know, sort of personal injury, bankruptcy, estate planning, business law, family law, divorce law, those kinds of things.
Well, and in general, since your clientele is going to be solo and small for practitioners, a lot of them coalesce around those practice areas. So by definition, that's who you're going to be writing for.
Right.
You know, more that's often. Right. So, you know, I know that one of the biggest hindrances to attorneys doing their own content development is staring at that blank page. It's just so overwhelming for some. And while we make our living writing in lots of ways, communicating in lots of ways, the idea of sitting down and looking at that blank computer screen or blank page of paper, if you're still a Neanderthal, using a pad of paper and a pen, although I'm sure there are plenty who do that. I kid because I love. How do you overcome that challenge?
Interestingly enough, I just wrote my own blog post on this. I really do try to provide a lot of free value to small and solo law firms, and really do try to demystify the process. I know a lot of law firms are trying to do this themselves. And so this is a common question that I get. So I would first say this. I am certain that whenever you get clients calling you on the telephone or messaging you or emailing you, they're asking the same questions. So that is where I would start, is listen to your own clients. And if you are a personal injury attorney, you know they're going to ask you, how much are you going to charge? Do you work on a contingency fee? How long is this going to take? How much money am I going to make? All of the things. And while you cannot ever give legal advice on your website, you can talk in generalities, because most bar associations throughout the United States have indicated that law firm websites either are advertising or they are almost at the border of that. So it's best to always just be very careful with the words that you use on it. Another way that you can do is check forums or Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups. What are people asking for in these groups? If you are perhaps a bankruptcy attorney, you may be getting a lot of questions, because a lot of people, unfortunately, have had financial struggles because of COVID recently. Perhaps if you're a divorce attorney, also because of COVID, someone may ask, can I still file for divorce? Are the courts even still open? So the questions that you find in different forums can also help you, you know, along with listening to your actual clients. Mm-hmm. There are also content idea generator tools that can help you. Like Answer the Public is one, and that's free. Another one is BuzzSumo, and another one, HubSpot has one. Another way to get some content is, frankly, to go look at the websites that, you know, you want your law firm's website to be when it grows up. So you look at your competitors and say, what are their content ideas? Now, don't plagiarize. Okay, you can't plagiarize the article, but you can look, and it doesn't even have to be in your own state. If you're a personal injury or bankruptcy or estate planning attorney, you can look at other law firm websites in other states to see, oh, someone's asking the difference between a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, or what should I file first, bankruptcy or divorce? So these are really great ways to sort of brainstorm topics.
Yeah. And I think all that is great advice. I firmly believe in the imitation is the greatest form of flattery approach as well, as long as you're not plagiarizing. I have frequently written posts on the subject that somebody else has written. I've actually quoted them and linked back to their blog post, because I want to be transparent that, you know, it was reading their post that, you know, gave me the idea to write my post or take a different slant on this topic area. And linking to their content is, you know, it's the honorable thing to do.
Yes, I think that that is possible to do. I think also a lot of the topics that are surrounding, let's say, personal injury law are very similar. You know, what are the common injuries that people have after an accident? How is a trucking accident investigation different than a typical passenger vehicle accident? So a lot of the ideas are there. And sometimes just looking at someone else's blog can help you remember what some of your own clients came in and asked questions about, that frankly to you just seem like second nature because you do it all of the time. Like, what is an interrogatory or something like that? Mm-hmm. So those things come second nature to attorneys because they do it. And it provides a lot of value for clients that are potentially looking for some answers. regarding their case.
Well, and those are all great ideas for brainstorming what you are writing about if you're doing it yourself. Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. For many years, marketing companies have focused on funnels that run for a short time, often leaving dozens of leads behind that didn't make a decision yet. Spotlight Branding has found a better way. It's called a content loop, and it's changing the way attorneys think about their marketing. This system nurtures your leads in perpetuity with quality, evergreen content that elevates your credibility and helps the rest of your marketing actually work. If you're interested in learning more, head over to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, to learn more about the content loop and how it can revolutionize your law firm's marketing. Spotlight Branding, more referrals, better clients, higher return on investment. Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. I'm also interested in knowing about your process. If you are working with the client and you are providing content for their use, and you are going to write on topical areas that are appropriate for their law firm, what's the process that you go through? Given you have an idea of, say, this one particular post, how do you go about researching that? Are you an outliner first and then a writer, or do you like to draw the mind map? You know, the geek in me wants to know what your writing process is.
Well, as far as the topic selection, I either select the topics myself or the law firm will give me topics. I can do it either way. Whatever topic I end up getting, the first thing I do is SEO research for a keyword, just so I can have a handle on that as I'm writing the article. Not that I'm keyword stuffing, but I feel like I want to have a solid foundation of the direction in which I want to go. For smaller law firms, I have to go for different keywords because they won't rank for very difficult keywords. So there's a bit of an art and a science to that.
Absolutely.
Once I start writing, though, there's a bit of a formula that I have, sort of a proprietary formula, I guess, that I have created in which I've done it. I think I've written over 3 million words now, is at last count, for law firms. So I sort of already know at the very beginning exactly how the outline is going to be. I'm going to explain what I'm talking about, how it relates to this particular state or industry or any new federal or state laws. And then I'm going to go into how this directly impacts the person that's reading it. I always want to provide value to, I don't want to just be listing off, you know, statutes or whatever. Right. Most people don't care anyway, but you need to have those for outgoing links for authority reasons, which is good for SEO too.
Right.
But you really need to answer someone's question, right? So what I do is definitely try to make it seem like, hey, this is probably the question you're asking. If you're reading this, here's the answer. And if you want to know more, there's a call to action at the very end, which is please call our experienced personal injury attorneys, where we would be more than happy to visit with you and help you, you know, with your legal issue.
Yeah, me personally, I mean, I'm one of those people that just starts writing almost stream of consciousness. And I just, sometimes I'm talking and it's translating. Sometimes I'm writing on the keyboard. Sometimes it's a combination of both. And then I edit it and reorganize it and, you know, give structure to it. I know that's not always the most efficient way of going about creating content, but for me, that's kind of, you know, what I do.
Yeah, I would say that I follow that practice as well. I think honestly, it's because this type of writing, like I've said, I've just done
so much,
so much that then if someone now asked me to write a novel, I would, you know, like some sort of nonfiction novel, I would be completely out of my element and probably have to create an outline and all of the things. But, you know, or if I was needing to write a sci-fi book or something, right? So, but right now I sort of have a system in place that I'm really comfortable with that I make sure to address the fact that the attorney has established authority, what the issue is, how I can help, how that, you know, answers to some of the questions that the potential client may have, and then also how the attorney can help. Because at the end of the day, that's really the most important part of the article, is that hopefully the potential client then picks up the phone or emails the lawyer to hire them.
It's always interesting too, just as an aside, to find out what is really gaining traction with the audience, with the potential clients. You know, I think oftentimes we as attorneys have our ideas of, okay, this is going to be a really good lead generating type article because this is really topical and lots of people are asking me about it and what have you. And I wrote a blog post, just kind of a throwaway post one time about being able to transfer the title of your car upon your passing and change the law there. I just thought that was kind of a trivial thing. Not too many people worried about transferring their car. It turns out that's by far and away the most frequently visited page on my blog website. So it's just kind of funny sometimes. You really don't know what's going to resonate with the audience.
No, you really don't. I will tell you, there are some clues that we get from, you know, looking at Google Analytics and things like that. What has always been interesting to me, and it really doesn't, it's not surprising when you think about it, the second most viewed page on a law firm's website is usually the About Me page or the About Us section. And I always thought that that was a little strange when I first heard it, but now really thinking about it, you know, at the end of the day, we all sort of are craving personal connections and you want to know who this person is that, you know, whether you trust them, whether you like them and see their picture and who they are as a person. So I always encourage law firms to build that page out and also put some personal information in it as well. If you do marathons or you have a dog or whatever, or you volunteer at a charity. People are, at the end of the day, people do business with people, not logos and not branding. While all that is important, at the end of the day, I do subscribe to that sort of philosophy that people do business with people. And the About Me page, the fact that so many people always click on that is representative of that.
Yeah, well, I put all the good-looking pictures of everyone else in my family, you know. So I could get them out there, put them front and center, let them do some work for the law firm, you know. I'm lucky enough that I have a lot of great pictures of the family. And you're right, that does resonate with people. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, who your clientele is, solo and small firm practitioners across a broad range of practice areas. Tell us a little bit about the offerings that LawQuill provides. I know you have, you're unique in the sense that you offer a couple of different levels of service to your potential clients. Why don't you go into that a little bit so we can see how you differentiate yourself from other content providers?
I do operate very differently than other digital marketing agencies. So when I first started making the decision to start LawQuill, I really wanted to not enter the ring unless I had something different to offer that would be extremely helpful to small and solo law firms. So of course I provide original, customized content for law firms that they can purchase either in bulk or most of my clients, frankly, purchase monthly packages. So that is typically what I offer that they, you know, that is pretty much the sole source of what I offer. However, I also realize that there are some law firms that are just starting out. Maybe it's someone right out of law school. Maybe it's someone who is leaving, you know, big law and wants to put out their shingle. And they simply can't afford even, you know, I'm less expensive than a lot of digital marketing agencies, but maybe they can't even afford that at this point. And I thought I would create something for them so that if someone came to their website, which maybe they just created on Wix or even created their website themselves, that there would not be tumbleweeds going through this website. So what I did was I created prepackaged content for these law firms, which I am very honest with people that it's neutral for SEO. As long as they put a no indexing, you know, tag on it, which I kind of explained to them how to do, then it's sort of no harm, no foul on Google. They won't get any SEO benefit, but they won't be harmed either. And these prepackaged articles are kind of a bit like Mad Libs. So the article is written, it's 800 words or so. And I provide a complete statute of limitations and statutes and all of the things for all of the different areas of law for all 50 states in a free resource library. So either them or their VA or their paralegal can drop those links in and then put their own call to action at the end. I will be honest, it's not great for SEO. And I got a lot of pushback from a lot of people in the digital marketing community saying this, you know, this is terrible for SEO. And I'm like, well, no, I understand it's terrible for SEO, yeah. But it's something at least.
And it's designed that way.
Yes.
We're doing this with our eyes open. This is.
Yes. And then I also actually created a course, which is LawQuill's Law Firm SEO 101 course. So it is a very introductory course, but it helps walk smaller solo law firm through, you know, not just how to do content, but how to create a good Google My Business page, how they should approach getting reviews and all of those things. So I really do try to help small and solo law firms as much as I can.
And I think that's a really valuable approach because as we're seeing more and more, you said it quite clearly, you know, if you have the resources to purchase a high-priced digital marketing firm, their services, or even a medium-priced one, you know, or a coaching service or whatever it is, if you have $1,000, $2,000 a month to spend, that's great. And you can get a lot of value out of it. But as you said, there's a lot of attorneys out there that are really struggling to keep the lights on just getting started. Right. They need something a lot more cost effective. It doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't have to have all the bells and whistles, doesn't even have to be recognized by Google. It's there to put some flesh on the bone. So as you said, there's not tumbleweeds on the website.
That's right. And I really feel like, you know, a lot of small law firms are really trying to cobble some of their SEO strategy together themselves. And so I'm just trying to provide as many free or very inexpensive resources as possible for them, you know, in terms of like even the articles that I have for free on my own blog. And then I also actually write for Above the Law as well, and just continue to pump out free content and resources for these small and solo law firms, because I just made a decision when I was starting LawQuill that I really wanted to help them. And that was going to be, you know, a foundational part of my business. So
it certainly appears that that's being successful for you. I think this is, you know, a resource that a lot of folks can use and take advantage of if they haven't already started to implement something on their own. Or maybe if they have, they want to make that a little easier or maybe transition to having somebody else do it for them. So with that in mind, tell our audience, what's the best way to reach out to you, Annette, if they want to follow up and talk to you more about this?
Well, my website is lawquill.com, and there are several different ways on there to get a hold of me. But if you want to email me directly, it's Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, at lawquill.com. And then also, you can find me on LinkedIn, just Annette Choti, C-H-O-T-I, on LinkedIn.
Terrific. Well, Annette, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. It's been really fun to learn more about what LawQuill has to offer and to meet you. And I hope to stay in touch and have you back on the show maybe at a later date to talk about some further technical stuff about SEO.
I would be thrilled. I have been a fan of the podcast for a while. So I truly am honored. Thank you.
You're very kind to say that. Thank you again for being a guest here today on The Law Entrepreneur. Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Daylight, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.